Parshas Balak. So at the end of last Parsha, we're told in the Medrash that the two kings, the giants, Sichon and Og, were more dangerous enemies than Paro and his army. And we're told that the Jewish people, when they experience miracles, should sing Shira, praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says that didn't happen. Then, however, when David HaMelech composed Tehillim, we know we say in Shabbos the one, Hodel Hashem Kilo Olam Chasdai, and we have the refrain, Kilo Olam Chasdai, through it all. And in it it says, we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is good, Kili Olam Chasdai, his kindness endures forever, right? He killed mighty kings, Kili Olam Chasdai, and then we mention Sichon Melech HaMorim, Kili Olam Chasdai, Og Melech HaBashan, Kili Olam Chasdai, and then it says, and he gave us their land as her heritage, again, Kili Olam Chasdai, a heritage to Klal Yisrael, God's servant, Kili Olam Chasdai. This happens, and they continue to travel along the east side of the Jordan. So they've come right around the land of Israel, and they come to the outskirts of Moab. The people in Moab heard about the arrival and that how the king Sichon and Og had been destroyed, and they became paralyzed with fear. And what happens is, it says, they had recognized Sichon and Og as being their ultimate protectors, and they were gone. Now, the people in Moab should have known, and probably did know, that the Jewish people were forbidden from going against them. God told Moshe, "Do not wage war against Moab." Somehow, in spite of that, they still felt threatened that there would be some type of plundering of their land. I guess they figured that the Jewish people were no better than any other army who wasn't supposed to do something, and yet you always had marauding troops. And they also didn't like the idea that their neighbors who existed all around would cease to exist, and basically they may be an oasis for their type of people or non-Jewish people in that area. It says this was an emergency situation, and it says inherent in all this there was still an element of Jew hatred. The Moavim, even though they only existed because of the merit of Avram, who protected Lot, their forefather, nonetheless, they bore hatred. And so the combination of fear and hatred led them to do something. And it says that's the way Balak was nominated as king. It says he wasn't of the royal family. He was some type of nobleman, whatever that means. And not only that, he wasn't even a native, but he was someone from Midian, another right country. And based on their rules, only a native-born son could be king. So how did he get the job? It says, we're told in the Medrash that They needed a mighty leader. He had a reputation as a war hero, and so they gave him the job. And the other thing is, he was known as being a superior black magic proponent. Before Bullock decided what action he should take to contra the Jewish people, he wanted to determine what is the strengths of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people. Why, since going out of Mitzrayim, had they basically defeated any enemy who came against them? And so he wrote a letter, or he sent a message, any way you could, to Midian. And he said, I know that when Moshe ran away from Paro, he came to Midian. And there's even a Medrash says he became the king there. How is it that he became such a successful leader? And he gets a reply that says, this evil serpent Moshe, yes, was nourished at our bosom. A Midianite invited him to his house, meaning Yisro, gave him Zipporah in marriage, and gave him money. And yet, he left Yisro, and he goes on, he destroys the nation of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. Now, Egypt, as we know, was the superpower of the day. And they said, you want to know what is his secret ingredient? Right? And what is it, the secret of ingredient of his people? Whenever they cry out to their God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens and fulfills their requests. The way God gave, Yitzchak gave the bracha of HaKol Kol Yaakov, Yaakov's strength is his voice, that is the true strength. And whomever the respondent was, said, your only way you're going to beat him is you're going to have to beat them with someone who is equally skilled in speaking. And they said, we've got an answer for you. There's Bilam. Bilam is someone who also has the power of speech, of having his pronouncements fulfilled. It says Bilam's fame was far and wide. He was known to be a philosopher. He was a professional dream interpreter. And he became a super proponent of black magic. And it says, rulers from far and near paid him great amounts of money to announce curses on their enemies or to give them blessing. And it seemed his comments ended up being reality. Now, Bullock was convinced that Bilam had power because many years earlier, Bilam had prophesied that Bullock would become a king, and now he had been appointed king of, right, Moab. And he too was a black magic proponent. And, you know, as they say, you know, it takes a musician to appreciate a super musician, so Bullock could appreciate the master of black arts being Bilam.
And Bilam was an advisor to Melech Mitzrayim.
Right. Bilam Eov and Yisro were Paro's three advisors, and Bilam is the one who told Paro to drown the baby, get rid of the babies. Right. Yisro ran away, and Eov were said didn't make any comments. It said, what was Bilak's magic power? Somehow, he could create birds that would reveal aspects of the future. A combination of gold for its head, silver for the beak, copper for its wings, etc. And you had to construct this clay, this metal bird at certain hours of the day. And what they then did is they took the tongue of a living bird and they put it in the mouth. They put the artificial bird on a windowsill and they opened the window so that it faced the sun by day and the moon by night. 7 days later, the bird's tongue began to make a sound. Then the magician pierced it with a golden needle, and the bird began to talk. And Balak seemed to be the guy who perfected this art, this act of tumla. And that's why when he's called in the Torah, he's called Balak ben Sipor, Balak the son of the bird, because he was the one who could use birds to try to ascertain what happens in future. It says the bird gave him certain advice, and one of the other things it told him, that Balak would have initial success over the Jews, but eventually he would fall. One day, it says, Balak was performing his usual bird ceremonies, and he was offering incense and bowing to the bird god he had, and the bird flew away. When it didn't come back, Balak was grieved. A while later, it came back, but followed by a fiery flame that singed its tail. And Balak must have perceived the flame. This was a nevuah that the Shekhinah's power would ultimately destroy the power of Tumah. So he had all this information. He also knew that he didn't have a reason for primary fear, but for whatever reason, and maybe it's anti-Semitism or whatever, he decided, no, I'm going to combat the Jewish people. Because he said, to me, it seems logical that Bilam will be able to curse the Jewish people as other nations, and it will have an effect. One of the questions that is asked is, hold on, Balak supposedly was a master magician. What did he need Bilam for? What did he need the professor of wizardry? It says that they somehow, acting together, would complement. Balak, it says, knew how to be practical. He could determine the exact spot in a perimeter where a curse is effective. Bilam was the one given the keys to use words, to use the right combination of statements to cause damage. We're told the metaphor is Bilam was a surgeon who could wield a scalpel, but really didn't know, wasn't a great professor of anatomy. Bullock, right, was the professor of anatomy and was a great someone who could diagnostician, but he could diagnose but without do surgery. And they felt that together they couldn't be thwarted. There was no time they felt they could be defeated. We're told by the Medrash that Bilam's power was that he's able to discern the short window of time, seconds in the day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his caste, his anger, to permeate in the world. In other words, at this time, God metes out justice to the Rishayim and what other things are required. The Midas Adin is at its highest. Bilam, for some reason, was able to discern when this would occur on a daily basis, and he would then render his curses, and for whatever reason, it would be effective. The same way we know that the Malach HaMoves in Mitzrayim could have wielded some power over the Jewish people because they were told to stay huddled, sheltered in the home. We're told that what happens is Balak sends a delegation to Bilam. And not only that, besides his Moav contemporaries, who are his advisors, he gets his old buddies in Midian to accompany them. He wants Bilam to be addressed by representatives of the two nations that we've got this joint venture to eradicate the Jews. Now it says Moab and Midian had for years been quarreling countries. Now, because they both realized that if they were successful, they could practice genocide against the Jews, you know, that makes enemies friends. And surprisingly enough, Bullock said, I guess he knew that Bilam was somebody who would handle. He said, if he wants to tell you, oh, you know what, I left my black magic in my city, this is not where I usually practice, send along, you know, a treasure chest of all the black magic components needed. The delegation came to Bilam's home, which is in Pisor, in Aram Naharaim, and they give him the message. A nation of 600 people escaped Mitzrayim, and hold on, weren't you Bilam, the advisor of Paro, who said they'll never get out, and yet they defeated the Egyptian superpower? We were told that you bewitched all the borders of Egypt. And somehow, you know, they got you once before. And they've continued through the desert. They've defeated kings. And recently they took out the greatest, Sihon and Og. And they're actually a nation without a proper king. I don't know what he considered Moshe Rabbeinu to be. Now, we know, Bilam, you're going to tell us, don't worry. Their God said they can't attack you. However, look at this weird existence. They're covered by clouds of glory, and we can't see through. I mean, nobody else has ever had this phenomena exist. I, Balak, ask you, come to my assistance. I know that this nation prays, which means they use their voices to obtain assistance of their God, and I want you to use your power to contra that. If you curse the people, we can demolish them. I know that after you cursed Cheshbon and Moab, which happened a long time ago, Sihon took this from us. And we'll pay you the greatest amount because, you know, you're doing a service. Normally, Bilam didn't care who he, you know, he would curse a guy one day, the next day he would bless. It was basically bless or curse for a fee. It was only a money game. However, when he received this offer from Balak, he decided, I guess, to get revenge on the people who damaged his reputation by leaving Mitzrayim. But it says even more so. Bilam was a descendant of Lot. The Gemara says he may have come from Lavan.
Not of Lot, of Lavan.
You're right. I read it wrong. Thank you. The Gemara says Bilam was Lavan's son. The Tanhuma says he may have been Lavan himself, or a gil, right? And there's a sefer, Zikunim Denura, which says he was a Gilgul of Lavan. And the old claim of Lavan that Yaakov stole whatever he had from Lavan and his family was right on his mind. Right? We know that he had been the one to have the Jewish children die. And the other thing is he had a personal jealousy. Who's this guy, Moses, who's trying to compete with me for greatness? But somehow, Bilam said to the assembled, hold on, I cannot say yay or nay. I've got to talk to God. And if God allows me to come, I'll be glad to do the job. Okay? And obviously, when he said God this time, he didn't mean one of his Getchkis or one of his Avodazaras. It says, the people, the wise people of Midian who joined this assembly said, ball game over. They said, if you're going to talk to the same God that Moshe talks to, ain't no way you're going to win. Can't happen. We know that God considers the Jews, right, his Bnei Bechori, his first son, and a father doesn't kill children. However, The delegates from Moab, I guess because they had to go back to the king, right? And they couldn't just give up without a reply, said to themselves, we gotta stay. Usually Bilam received his powers of answering from the true God in the black magic. Somehow Bilam realized this message is coming through a different channel, through a holy channel. Even though he was unworthy in the honor of the Klal Yisroel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to the Rasha to save the Tzaddikim. The same way he spoke to the king Avimelech when he stole Sarah directly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bilam, who are these evil Rishayim with you? And this was a test. Bilam should have said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know all. You know who they are. But Bilam said, hey, he's asking me for a question. He needs advice. All of a sudden, God doesn't know it all. And therefore, maybe I've overstated God's abilities and I will have success if I decide to go ahead. Of course, this was a trap for him. And he goes on and he says, okay, I'll answer the question. Balak, the son of the bird, the king of Moab, asked me to curse the Jews. Excuse me. And God replies to him, no, you can't curse them. It says, three people introduced novel ideas, some for better and some for worse. Noach was the first drunkard, and he cursed his grandson when his grandson misabused him. Avram was the first one to show signs of old age, right? And Avram was the first person who had a chain of hotels for people who to come into. Bilam was an innovator too. He was the one who brought to the world the casinos and the homes of prostitution. It says, Bilam worked to degenerate society. He wanted to increase lewdness because this is somehow an emphasis for black magic. So God says to Bilam, you may not go with them. And look at the conceit of Bilam. Bilam says, you know, maybe God likes me. Maybe he doesn't want me to travel all this distance. I can do my cursing from here. And immediately God says, you've got no power to curse. Ki Baruchem, because they are blessed. So Bilam says, okay, let me bless them. And God says, no, you're not going to be able to do either. And Bilam was basically told at this juncture, you cannot go, you cannot speak. And he tells this to his emissaries, God does not let me go. But being the egotist that he is, he says, I can't go with you, leading them to believe that, oh, if we get more respected emissaries, and maybe if we come with more gold, he'll come. And that's what they tell the king. and the king is going to get together a better group, more esteemed human beings, going to have greater money, and we'll pick up tomorrow with the second group to arrive to ask Bilam, please come and curse the Jews.